It's Black and Abdallah. Bop, 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 bop. What's up, fellas?
Jonathan, what's going on?
Back and better than ever. I don't know anything about it. Never see anything. I don't know what's going on, Hembo. What's going on?
I've got my soup. I've got my sandwich. I'm not going to dip them in each other because I'd never be caught dipping anything into anything.
I'm going to eat my Snickers with a fork and knife.
You know, he FaceTimes me regularly.
Greenberg?
Yeah, because I'm first in his phone, and so he butt FaceTimes me.
Does he ever say anything to you?
No,
you
never.
Answer?
No, I don't ever answer.
Oh, you should answer next time.
I just let it go, and then I never get the text.
You should answer
after
Bubba
that's
here.
Like, hey, man, I'm sorry.
Adam, what's it like to be always the first person in class when growing up?
It was the good. First one. Well, so I was always in the front corner, and it's obviously how Chris and I became friends because of alphabetical convenience. Mm-hmm. And basically, you could sit in the front, but you could turn slightly because you were also up against a wall, so you could have a view of the entire class. So it made talking to everybody and not focusing on the schoolwork much easier.
But
people were like, no, I want to go to the back. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I got front row seats right here.
Everyone's cheating on your paper, though. Everyone, because you can't really, unless it's to the left, right?
No. We knew what was taking place up there, so we didn't cheat.
Yeah, why do you think I'm doing this for a living?
Yeah. The ladies that were sitting around Abdallah, sure, yeah, we cheated off of them.
Yeah.
The Colleen Brays of the world.
Clover Campbell's.
Yeah, they were very smart. We were not. No one's cheating off of us.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying, like, for you to cheat, though, on the far right side, you got to look only to your left, right?
Well, see, that was – so when they offered you guys can switch seats now, I've learned all your names and everything. I never moved, but the smart, nerdy kids always moved to the front, and I'm like, yeah, you don't know what you're about to get yourself into, do you? You're going to learn, and I am not.
I love that. All day we're going to be at Cork and Kerry, which is great for celebrating Walker's One. And this whole thing, by the way, with Lonzo Ball, I'm still trying to unpack this. Chris, so Lonzo Ball, he couldn't get this surgery or this procedure done in the summer?
Well, or did it? Have they been working on this and it just hasn't improved at all? I mean, we heard A.K. Eversley and Donovan speak at Summer League in between Bulls games, and it seemed like they were questioning whether or not Lonzo would be ready at that time. It didn't seem like we heard anything positive about Lonzo, and I think I want to thank the Bulls and also the Celtics to give us some NBA conversation here because they knew we had this crosstalk coming up for the Walk is One Chicago today as we're at Cork and Kerry. So shout out to the Bulls and to the Celtics.
As you're listening to Fast Break here on the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah.
Okay, now we bring it back to Black and Abdallah. All right, Abdallah, this whole thing, I mean, if you are a doka, you are a dope. You gonna step out on Nia Long? I mean, seriously. I mean,
man,
she's still out at 51. My text message has been blown up since 5 a.m. My cousin Wiley loves her. He won't get married until now that Nia Long's available. I think now he might get hitched.
Well, there's got to be more to this, right? Because how do you get the same suspension as Sarver? Like, Sarver's going to sell the team, but how do you get the same – like, what else is – there's got to be more. There's got to be more than just this inappropriate relationship. Consensual.
True.
Inappropriate relationship.
As I said, like, if you are – if you're going to do it in-house, you have to declare. Declare.
Declare.
Declare. Declare.
Jonathan, I heard you talking about this earlier. You know, like, Adal and I had to declare with the old company. Do you remember
declare.
That?
Yes. Yeah.
Declare. You two have to declare.
Declare.
We were living together.
They're like, you guys have declare. To declare this is a relationship. And we're like, we're together.
No, that's
though.
Not what this is, even though everyone wants to make jokes about it. Yeah. That's not what this is. We're roommates. You gotta declare.
Yeah, that's not where I'm going. You guys know where I'm going with this. Where we had an employee here that had to declare that he wanted to date the intern and take her to a Bulls game. Nonetheless, I thought that fast. Declare. You gotta declare.
Like, but Jonathan, back to Lonzo. Isn't it the same for both teams that are owned by Jerry Reinsdorf? I know that's just the connection that they're both owned by Jerry Reinsdorf. But two teams that just decide to stand pat in the off season and not add anything, and now they're just going to rely on let's just try to be healthy again.
Oh, Sylvie joins us.
No, I'm just saying. Like, Lonzo was a problem. You knew he was a problem, and all you added was Goran Dragic. That's it.
Yeah, I know what you're right. You are, Adam, you're right.
Everybody else
you're
got
right.
better around you.
You're
the
right.
Hawks got better. The
That's
Celtics got better.
That's
the
right.
Like, everyone else around you
run
got
it back Bulls.
Everybody else got better.
No, you are absolutely right, and you're still small, right? I mean, if you're the Bulls, you don't have the size. And again, you know, I'm not looking for Wilt in there, but you got to have some kind of size for rebounding and some toughness in there, and you still don't have it. So, yeah, you're right. Both teams do mirror each other in believing in their core. I thought we were past the core stuff with, like, Gar and Pax. I thought that we were done with believing your core. Okay, you're always going to have your core, but you can still add pieces. And that's, you're right. That's for both teams.
Yeah, and I think that, too, it's more so with the Bulls because with the NBA, you can always make moves. You can always find someone to trade for. You can always find a diamond in the rough somewhere. And it's so much easier to flip your roster around in the NBA. And so focusing on just the Bulls and what they're doing, like you thought that when AK and Eversley came in and they made those drastic moves to start their tenure here at the trade deadline, trading for Vooch, you know, obviously it didn't work out as people had planned on it, but you still made drastic moves and said, well, this core isn't working. We're blowing this up and we're adding a bunch of different players. But the problem is you kind of you stop doing that. You're supposed to keep adding and keep turning your roster over until you find the right mix.
I also feel like in basketball, in the NBA, it's very obvious when you're not there. You're not to the top, mm-hmm. right? Like for the White Sox, you could still make the argument, right? Everyone's healthy. Everyone's clicking. Here we go. You get the right manager. Maybe this team could compete. But in the NBA, it is so blatantly obvious. You're in the first round. You get bounced by the Bucks. You don't have a number one superstar in the league. So there's really no way to elevate to that next plateau, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's more upsetting that the Bulls didn't do anything because it's so blatantly obvious that they have kind of topped out at where they're at. And it's like, okay, so we're going into the season hoping that they'll be the sixth best team in the East?
Well, I guess if we could look at history, and again, these are two different organizations, Karnišovas also was a core guy, right? Everything was built through the Joker. And there was some moves made here and there, but there wasn't like incremental movement with that Denver team. Denver was solid what they were. They were 48-50 win ball club in the playoffs and got bounced. So hopefully that's not the trend with Karnišovas, but wasn't Denver that way too? Built through the draft?
Yeah.
Stick with your core pretty much?
No doubt, but they also haven't gotten there, right?
But also the difference is too, you have a superstar. You have an MVP. Like you have Joker there is like the guy. You still don't have a superstar on this Bulls team.
By the way, looking over my right shoulder, I was looking up, and there's Stephen A., and there's, like, Jason Reed and a few other people.
Sure.
The big Kyron.
How are you going to cheat on Nia Long?
That's what I was saying, right? On the bottom of the screen, the lower third, Reed, : the Bears have failed Justin Fields.
Oh, again with this?
Come on, it's the best, right? I mean, honest to God, man, it's just like the Bears are 1-1, and already people are doing slings and arrows like the Bears have failed Justin Fields. Well, what do you think the roster was going to look like coming in? Whether you believe they're an 8-9 win ball club or a 4-5 win ball club, you just know there's always room for improvement with a new regime.
Who was it, Ryan Clark, like 2 weeks ago, that was saying that the Bears heading into the season, they failed Justin Fields? Is that the right?
Yes.
Hot take artist?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing. You're right, Jonathan. We know what this is. They have all the cap space for next season. Clearly, there's a blueprint there for the Bears to follow, and it's something that we talked about on the show the other night. You look at the game on Monday night with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and what the Eagles were able to do to draft a wide receiver and also go out and trade for A.J. Brown. Then you look over at Tua and the Dolphins. They drafted Waddle. They go out and get Hill, right? They supply the young quarterbacks with talented receivers, and it didn't happen all in one moment. It takes some time. The Bears are going to have a ton of cap space in the offseason. Yeah, are they going to struggle now? Sure. But can the offense improve? Can the quarterback improve? Can the scheme be a little bit better? I think we're all expecting to see some growing points throughout this season. And the Bears aren't failing him just because they didn't go out and land the best wide receiver in this last offseason. It's just a complete hot take.
Yeah, I think they're going to open it up this weekend, Jonathan, because the Texans gave up 350 yards passing to Matt Ryan in week one. They gave up 170 passing yards last week. So I think you're going to see some more opportunity. They run the same defense, essentially, as the Bears do. So if anybody's going to know how to attack his own defense, it's Matt Eberflus. So I think that you're going to see this open up a little bit more on Sunday afternoon.
Help me out, Adam. Come on, man. West Virginia 2.5 against Votech tonight. What do you think? West Virginia. Ooh. Come on, wait, two and a half.
I
tough.
Think, I think like I like West Virginia.
Okay, yeah. 2.5. The total 50.5. Help me out.
I like West Virginia, and give me the over.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can I just tell you that I have, guys, you got to pick out one team that's going to be
sure.
non-Power 5. My okay. team for this year was Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers.
Yeah.
Side of Myrtle Beach. So they're going to be a two-point favorite against Georgia State. What do you think, man? What do you think? The over-under 63. What do you think?
Ooh, tough getting the one-star recruits out of Georgia after Georgia's getting fives and four stars.
Okay.
That's tough. But give me the Chanticleers going away.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's your pick. And by the way, you can catch Chicago's college tailgate every Saturday for more outrageous picks like that.
Is Clemson going to be doing enough?
Don't start that again.
Is Clemson going to be doing enough?
That's your November question. Now.
Has Clemson done enough? Have they?
Dabo.
Now, Jonathan, I have a question for you about your partner, David Kaplan, doing great work today, walking
walk.
20 miles for Bernie's Book Bank.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to stay awake tonight
to watch Illinois?
And...
He's got a big day.
He's got a big,
game tonight.
He's got a big walk. Day. He's raising a ton of money for a great cause, and then he's got his quarterback going tonight.
Did he watch on Sunday?
The Bears?
No, the Steelers.
Boys, if he goes to bed at halftime, he just misses Kenny Pickett. Win-win.
You know Tomlin's going to not put up with this.
I was out. I'm just telling you.
He's going to see all the plays that are left on the field, and Tomlin's going to be like, nah, We're not about this life. Omar Epps out there is not handling this.
Seriously. I mean, I've been, Cap doesn't listen. I told him, I was like, you think that you're going to let Mitch ruin your above 500 legacy?
No way.
Some nonsense? No.
That's not going to last. Remember when we were told that he's going to start the entire season?
Yeah.
What were we saying? Give it 4 weeks?
Yeah.
4 weeks of Trubisky. And now I'm watching the Patriots and the Steelers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick is just throwing blitzers at Trubisky, and he is just like a deer in the headlights.
Got no idea.
He has no idea that if you have more people coming at your left, that there might be someone available on the right side of the field. Just completely unaware from Trubisky.
Plus, you've got extra time now if you want him to start and get ready and get more reps. Because you're playing on Thursday night, you've got a couple extra days because you have the extra time now. Or I thought that they would at least wait till the bye week, to whenever the Steelers' bye week is, because then you have 2 weeks to get him ready and have him taking first-team reps. But if you got to pull the trigger now, then do it.
Just to answer your question, Adam, I believe Cap will be out by 8:30. It'll be nap time.
Easily.
Nap time. Nappy. Time for a little nappy. Because his legs will be dead. Yeah.
I miss that. Going around the room to check out if Snorling is going to take a nap, if JR is going to take a nap. Is everyone napping
tonight? Anybody napping tonight?
No one's napping tonight, no. Got to see Mitch, because that'll be 7 a.m. tomorrow. Mitch was terrible. I never saw it. I was sleepy. I'm just telling you. So it'll be a lot of that tomorrow.
It's the OC's fault.
So
leave Matt Canada out of this.
You guys have a great show from 10 to 6:30. Everyone will be broadcasting live from Cork and Kerry at the park, 3259 South Princeton Avenue. So we're going to celebrate Walk as One, gentlemen.
And Jonathan, we got something really cool going on right now. So Zebra Technologies, they will match up to $25,000 of listener donations.
Yeah.
So Zebra Technologies is a world leader in innovative digital solutions, including hardware and software that enable businesses of all sizes to connect data, assets, and people. So if you text ESPN4Bucks to 44321 to donate to this great cause, how about that? Zebra Technologies will match up to $25,000 of listener donations.
Yeah, $20 equals 20 bucks. And listen, you're going to blow that 20 bucks tonight gambling. So just spend it on a good cause and donate 20 bucks instead of donating it to the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
That's a hell of a sell there, Adam. I mean, that's restaurant quality right there.
That's my partner.
Yeah, it's something else, man.
We'll be here for 2 hours.
Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, John.
It'll be a Bleck and Abdallah in for Greeny. I never saw anything. I never saw it. And a Hembo, where am I? That'll be coming up next.
My soup.
Right here on the ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Bleck and Abdallah, we're in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. You can usually hear us weeknights, 6 to 8, right here on ESPN 1000. Today is a special day. We're live at Cork and Kerry at the park. We will be here all day long. Coming up next will be Carmen and Yurko starting at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, all the way into White Sox baseball this evening right here on ESPN 1000. We celebrate Walk as One Chicago. It's the third annual Walk as One Chicago to benefit Bernie's Book Bank.
It's a great cause. $20, 20 books to underserved children. I'm doing it right now. You see it? Listen,
yeah.
This isn't for fakes. I'm texting right now.
Nice.
44321, ESPN 4 books.
Oh, that's great.
Donate using the secure link. It sends you a link right to your phone. You just open the link and you can pick 20, 50, 70, whatever you can do, any dollar amount, or just do other. Any dollar amount helps, but $20 gets 20 books to underserved children.
What a great personal tutorial you just gave me. That was fantastic.
I'm just trying to say how easy it
is. Well, now
for
I know how to do it. That's great. I'll be able to do it
easy.
In just a moment.
Don't text and drive, though.
So David Kaplan is on this walk. He's with CEO from Bernie's Book Bank, Darren Utnick. They are walking 20 miles today. They left Guaranteed Rate a little bit ago. They're going to walk all the way up to Wrigley Field and then come back down to Guaranteed Rate. And later on this evening, David Kaplan will be throwing out the first pitch for the White Sox game, Sox and Guardians, tonight.
Has he practiced? He is a pitcher.
Yeah,
he plays in the
old man league, right?
Yeah, this is different, though.
The hurlers league.
Yeah, this is different. There's a lot of pressure when you walk up there and there's 7,000 people at this game.
That's generous.
Well, I mean, they're kind of out of it now. I mean, don't you think? There's 6 games out now.
I mean, and we can start with the White Sox here. But so Black and Abdallah in for Greeny today. We're celebrating Walk is One. And like Abdallah said, it is very easy to donate. All you have to do is text ESPN4Books to 44321, and you will be able to donate and help a great cause. It's the third annual Walk as One Chicago to benefit Bernie's Book Bank. So it's Black and Abdallah here with you. We're going to have our usual Thursday night staples here in this time slot. We're going to talk to the Fat Jack, get ready for the gambling weekend in about 10 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. And then also at 11:20, you don't want to miss it, Chauncey from Chauncey's Great Outdoors. He will give us his animal picks for the football weekend.
Yeah, he's got a rebound, but he is .500 so far through the season. He went 2-1 week one. He went 1-2 week two. So 3-3 right now. He's got a rebound weekend ahead of him.
So last night, it seemed like once again with this White Sox team, clearly they lose the first game on Monday night, and it seems as if, or on Tuesday night, and it seems as if, okay, the season's basically over. They come out last night. They're completely sloppy. It's a mess. You see Lance Lynn on the mound. He's upset. He's flustered. The Guardians just they don't do anything that make you think that they're a great baseball team. They do all the little things that add up to make them a great baseball team. It doesn't – like, theoretically, on paper, you look at it, you're like, they shouldn't be that good. But really, they are. They are a very good baseball team. And the White Sox are just a mess. And they have been the entire season, and nothing has really changed. And we've kind of discussed that it hasn't felt right from the start. And when you can point to the manager, you can point to the lack of improvements with the roster in the offseason. It really, from the start, this season has not felt right.
No, and I'll go back to something that I heard Darren Jackson say this earlier in the season about the Guardians and Terry Francona. And it's like, you're right, they're not a great baseball team, but he knows how to push all the right buttons and just annoy you enough with, you know, stealing every base, trying to get that extra base every single time. It ends up paying off and really pushing your defense, and that's what makes a really good team. And that's why I think that managing does play into it. I think it's everybody's fault. Like, everybody, the players underperformed, the manager was bad, and they needed to add to the roster more than they did at the deadline and even before the season to try to make up for some of these health issues that have proven that the White Sox, you know, their star players can't stay healthy. Eloy can't stay healthy. Mankata can't stay healthy. The oldest guy on the team, Jose Abreu, is the only one that can stay healthy out of this team. So because of that, you had an underperforming season, an underachieving season. A lot of people picked them to go far into the playoffs. A couple, you know, analysts even picked them to go to the World Series and possibly win the World Series. But they could never just put it together. Part of it is health. A lot of it is just players just underperforming in their roles that they're supposed to be. The pitching was never right. Lucas Giolito did not have a good year this year. I mean, you did have some bright spots. Dylan Cease, you know, coming into his own and becoming a Cy Young candidate pitcher this year was huge for him. The addition of Johnny Cueto was good. It did help you. But you needed more offense. You needed more outfield help. You needed a lot more on this baseball team.
You mentioned Jose Abreu. His WAR this season is 4.3. He's only hit 15 home runs. He has hit the baseball well. His average on the season is 308. but the power is no longer there. No. And I think that's the thing. As I sit back and I watch last night and I watch the Guardians just, you know, take advantage at every opportunity of sloppy play by the White Sox, I just continue to think to myself, this team has no power. Andrew Vaughn, 17 home runs, leads the team. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you just ran down Moncada, Robert, Eloy. I mean, the power from these star, in air quote, players is just not there. They all got contracts early, hometown deals from the Sox, like solidifying this core early on before they hit the open market. And it's like none of these guys have improved in the power. In an era in baseball where home runs are flying out of the ballpark, mm-hmm. this team doesn't hit home runs. No. And that, to me, is just so bizarre when you think back to the overall season. And like Abreu, he's been decent. But again, he's only hit 15 home runs. It's crazy to me.
Well, and you also, you know, you say early in the season, oh, well, it's the weather. These bats always tend to heat up when the weather gets better. And then it just never came to fruition. It always just seemed like in big situations, too, they always failed. I'll go back to two nights ago. Andrew Vaughn's at the plate, bases loaded, swings at a pitch that's clear over where by the speaker is over here. Like, the pitch was that far away from the plate.
Yeah, it's about 5 feet from you
and he
at the moment.
And he swung at that pitch, and it's like, okay, well, now, and then you ground into a double play. Like, it's just bad situational hitting that they couldn't take advantage of in tons of situations. And then they get a lead, they give it up. You get another lead, you give it up. The bullpen was not set up for success. It was poorly used the other night on Tuesday night. But just these guys, and the only addition is Diekman, and he couldn't perform either. Like, you needed to add a lot more to this team for them to be successful.
Well, and baseball's fun, right? And it just has felt as if this team hasn't really been having fun. It's felt very forced at times.
Yeah.
And it's felt like, okay, you're on a long you're on a long drive across the country with your parents, and your dad's turn around and say, we're going to have fun. This is a baseball
gripping
season.
The steering wheel as hard
and you're like,
as you
this
can.
Isn't fun. We're in the middle of Oklahoma. Can I please go to a water park or something? It just has not been enjoyable, and it doesn't seem like the players have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know, a team that we've talked about in the past with so much swag, so much passion, so much change the game. We haven't seen any of that this season.
No, there needs to be changes, whether it's at the manager, whether you got to bring in some new life into this offense, because I don't think you can stand pat. I don't think you can go with the way that the Cubs did in the past. The Cubs proved it, though. The Cubs proved that they can hit, and they won the World Series, and they went to multiple championship series. So they had the proof that said, you guys can do this. They still should have added, but the White Sox haven't proved anything. They proved that they can make the playoffs last year, and that's it. That's all that these guys have proven so far.
I'm ready to talk football. Yes. We are going to start week three of the NFL season tonight, the Steelers and the Browns. The Bears have a big match on Sunday against the Texans, a team that you could argue is one of the worst teams in the NFL, so the Bears need a bounce-back win on the lakefront. And there's also some really good matchups here in week three, especially Aaron Rodgers going up against Tom Brady. That's going to be a fantastic matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. The Bucs will be out with Mike Evans. His suspension was upheld. I mean, I think you've got a great one tonight in the Browns and the Steelers. Like, I love watching Mike Tomlin coach. I think it's going to be – that'll be a good game tonight. And then, you know, you've got some good – I mean, the Bills in Miami, that's a good game. You've got the division. Are the Lions for real? Are they going to keep up this offense? What are the Vikings going to do? A big game in the division as far as the Bears are concerned. So there's a ton of good action this weekend.
We're live at Cork and Carry at the park. We're celebrating Walk is One Chicago. Cap is on his walk right now. It's the third annual Walk is One Chicago to benefit Bernie's Book Bank. And this hour, Zebra Technologies, they will match up to $25,000 of listener donations. So let's start the day strong with Zebra's help. Please consider making a donation of $20 for 20 miles. Your gift will provide 20 quality books to empower underserved Chicagoland children to read their way to a better life. We talk to the Fat Jack, and we preview the gambling weekend in the NFL coming up next. Plucking Abdallah, we're in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000. We're live from Cork and Carry at the park. Come on by, say hello as we celebrate Walk is One Chicago, the third annual Walk as One Chicago trip for David Kaplan. He will be walking from Guarantee Rate Field to Wrigley Field and back. to Guaranteed Rate Field. About 20 miles of walking today to raise money to benefit Bernie's Book Bank. It's a great cause, and we're excited to be here today.
Walk, 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 walk. Text ESPN4Books, that's ESPN, the number 4Books, to 44321. $20 equals 20 books donated to underserved children. It's a great cause, providing books all over the city. It's a great cause. My wife is a teacher at a charter school. They partner with Bernie's Books, so it's great to see this partnership going around and a great opportunity here to raise a ton of money.
Absolutely. Walk is One Chicago. We will talk to Cap in about an hour. We will talk to Cap and check in on his walk. It's Bluck and Abdallah. Usually you can listen to us weeknights 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. And every Thursday we get a chance to talk to the Fat Jack and preview the gambling weekend at 6:35. So, you know, we're on in the morning. Let's get ready for the gambling weekend right now. The Fat Jack, go to his website, sign up now, fatjacksports.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, Fat Jack Sports, and you can call 800-298-1383. Jack, you've been hot when it comes to the NFL and college football so far early in the season.
Yeah, everything. By the way, I've walked not 20 miles, but a long way. People think, well, that's easy to do. The chafing will set in after about 4 or 5 miles. You're going to get some friction going on. So when you check in on the walk, you need to ask about the chafing, because you think it's going to be blisters and those type of things. I mean, it will get after some areas that you don't think you had issues with. But, yeah, if you don't want to have issues, yeah, we're a great start to the year. And even when we have a losing week, we will. Everybody loses some. I'll talk about it. We'll lead in with that. But right now, I mean, knock on wood, guys, things are going really, really well. Besides the free bases that are on 11-4 run for free, we won again. We were 4-2 last Saturday, 4-2 last Sunday. Everybody's winning. We won a week ago Thursday. We won Monday night. We had the under with the Philly game Monday night. Every game is posted and documented. Everybody gets exactly the same plays, and then we post them and document it under the results tab at fatjacksports.com. So a great start to the year. Not surprising, because the general public's getting hammered right now, especially on Sunday. People that like to play their favorite teams, it is not working at all. Road dogs 9-5 against the spread. Teams with the majority of the bets on their side are 10-18-1 against the spread. So a $100 player down about $800 just betting their favorite team. And when you have 60% of the money, or excuse me, of the tickets on one team, similar to Dallas last week, you know, Dallas plays Cincinnati. Everybody's like, oh my God, back and quarterback. Da, da, da. Those teams that have 60% of the bets on one side, guys, they're 2-12 against the spread. They're getting absolutely hammered. The only two that have won were Baltimore in week one and Detroit last week against Washington. All of those other really lopsided games are all going the way of the casino and the sharp players. So if you're lining up and you're playing with the, you know, the Joes, as we call them, the pros versus Joes, you are getting hammered, and that's more reason to go to FatJackSports.com.
You've got a road dog tonight in Cleveland as the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Tomlin, who's great as an underdog, they are +3.5 tonight in Cleveland. What do you think of this one tonight? I like betting on Mike Tomlin. I don't like betting on Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, you're running into, and believe me, more times than not, you're right. Tomlin, best in the league, since Sean Payton is now out of the league, as an underdog. And a road underdog, he is incredibly profitable. And I played him in week one. We had an easy winner. But I played New England this last week because the market's going to catch up with him. The subset of this game you need to look at is exactly what I was talking about. About 75% of all the money's on Pittsburgh right now, plus those points. Yet the number's actually been moving toward Cleveland. Sharper players are playing Cleveland in this spot. The public are playing Pittsburgh and Trubisky. So you guys have, you know, PTSD as it relates to Trubisky. The rest of the country, they don't have that yet. The only problem is Stefanski against divisional opponents, 1-11 against the spread. That's absolutely the worst in playing a divisional opponent. But with all that being said, yeah, I lean toward Cleveland tonight. I'm not going to line up with the Joes. With all this new money coming into the market, everybody out there that's listening that just started betting this year, you are new money, and you honestly don't know enough to know what you don't even know yet. So you're betting on your favorite team, or the team that has some, you think has some value, because have a better name on the front of their shirt. Those type spots are losing you money weekly right now. So you got to be able to play a 1-11 against the spread Stefanski at home versus Pittsburgh if you're going to make money in a spot like this. The I lean toward Cleveland minus the points.
Jack, last week I took the Bears plus the points. I thought they'd be frisky. I didn't think they'd win, but I thought that they'd keep it close. The Packers obviously covered the spread. What do you think about the Bears heading into this weekend? They're at home. They're a favorite against one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Texans.
Yeah, if you didn't live in Chicago, you would not have been playing Chicago last week. That's a great example. And by the way, I don't play a lot when the Thunder start playing. I don't play a lot of the Thunder. I don't play a lot of Oklahoma or OSU or whoever I know a lot about. Now Vegas, similar, because you hear so much about them. It's really a bad idea to play your favorite team. But there was nothing that told you that this was going to be the year that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to own Chicago, which he has. I mean, over his whole career, he's 8-0 against the spread after a loss, 9-1 against the spread straight up. The guys have been incredible against the Bears. And the Bears played in 3 feet of water in week one. So we really don't know offensively what we're getting with Chicago. And I'll tell you, this is a big week for them because they should win this game. The line says they're going to win this game. But here's my problem. Justin Fields in his start, 9-3 to the under. The reality is sometimes you have to believe what you're seeing. And what we're seeing is an offense that's not scoring a bunch of points with this quarterback. Now, obviously, coaching change. You guys will talk all about that as we go through the week. And getting more comfortable. And by the way, they're not playing in 9 feet of water now. They're not playing on the road. So there's lots of reasons to have optimism. But Houston has been – Houston reminds me of that, you know, that math league girl that walks into the school dance and put on a dress and all of a sudden people think she's beautiful now. They know exactly what they are. They got rid of their trauma or their controversy at quarterback. They're not great, but they know who they are. They know what they do. And I do think it's a low-scoring game. Anytime you get a low-scoring game, I probably take the points. I lean toward Houston here.
So two teams that are rolling as of late, the Buffalo Bills just seem to put a stranglehold on everybody through the first 2 weeks. They blow out the Titans. They blow out the Rams in week one. Then you've got the Dolphins who come all the way back. Tua looked great in the second half of that game. Where's the value on this line? Because the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite, but it's a North team heading south. It could be hot and muggy and sweaty down there in Miami. They're a 6.5-point dog.
Yeah, right now Buffalo is that Alabama of the NFL. You either play them or you get out of the way. I don't like playing. First of all, I think absolutely the general public is going to be on Buffalo. How's everybody's fantasy doing? Passing leaders of the NFL. Have you guys talked about this? Passing leaders of the NFL through 2 weeks. Tua, Carson Wentz, and Joe Flacco. If you have that on your bingo card, you're doing pretty well. Because nobody, I think, preseason thought those three would be leading passing leaders in the NFL through a couple of weeks. So I love what Miami's doing. Obviously, the receiver for Kansas City's made a big difference for them, Tyreek Hill. But I don't like playing against Buffalo with how well defensively they're playing. I see them, Tua has been prone to turning the ball over. If you make me play it, I go ahead and lay the points. Here's the problem, though. Not going to cover every game. And the deeper we go into the season, they're going to be giving enough points. You're never going to get value with Buffalo. But this is one of those, you know, time machine. We should have bet the house on Buffalo through week one and two. Buffalo all 5-0 straight up their last five. Miami 10-1 in the series, actually. And 10-1, Miami's 10-1 straight up the last 11 in this series. So that's actually wrong. One of those is wrong. Anyway, play Buffalo. If you're going to play it, play Buffalo. Don't play the game, though. It's a bad spot.
No, a game that I'm very excited to watch on Sunday, Packers and Buccaneers. I think these two defenses are fantastic, and then obviously the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks facing off against the defenses, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, normally it's lower scoring than people think. And by the way, Evans being out won't help things for sure. Tampa Bay's defense is what's been so impressive with them. It hasn't really been Brady to this point, and I think we're going to get a regression from out of Green Bay and what Aaron Rodgers was. I think, you know, it was a safety game that he has owned the Bears, but top to bottom, I don't think this is like last year where he's going to run through now, become MVP and those type things. So I like under the total in this one, go under the 41. Both these teams will try to keep the other quarterback on the sidelines. Tampa's been pretty comfortable doing that, running the ball first, staying ahead of the chains and letting their defense create some turnovers. Obviously, Rodgers does not like pressure, and Tampa's been able to get pressure. So a lot of reasons to play the under in that one. I like under the 41.
You mentioned to me last week when we were talking about two head coaches that know each other really well that tends to lean towards the under. You've got the Ravens and the Patriots. The Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite, but this total is pretty low. It's 43.5 right now. Are you still leaning under on when two coaches that kind of know each other and have been there for a while, and we know what we're going to get from them to lean towards the under?
Yeah, that was the Pittsburgh and New England game last week, which was very, very easy. actually. And yeah, absolutely, I absolutely do like the under here for exactly the same reason. You have both of these coaches that, even though Baltimore's put up some points offensively, they absolutely want to play defense, want to play field, don't want to turn the ball over, those type things. And New England, that's who, until further notice, you either play under with New England or you don't play it at all. Now, four of the last five in the series have gone over, but I'm not buying into that. I don't think New England trusts their quarterback at all. I think they understand that they can get to track meet if they're not careful against Baltimore and Jackson. So I think both of these offenses will be – and anytime you go on the road as a head coach like Harbaugh, you try to stay more conservative for sure. So, yeah, I absolutely go under in that one. As far as the side goes, that's one of those I just talked about where most of the money is going to be on Baltimore here. But be careful. I mean, there's a reason why the line's three. Vegas has not set up lines – or, you know, the line setters don't set up lines just giving money away. Ask Cincinnati fans last week at Dallas and a number of other 12 other times this year where the vast majority of the money's been on one side. And that's kind of what this one is. You got to be careful before you step out and play Baltimore and just think, oh, New England can't score against anybody, because they've done a really good job playing without a good quarterback for the last few years of covering a lot of numbers and winning some games. So I lean toward New England plus the points. They're definitely the under.
Jack, if our listeners go to your website to sign up, what will they receive at FatJackSports.com?
Yeah, what you see is what you get. All of the games are posted and documented. So you get the plays text to your cell phone. You get them emailed to you. They're the exact games I'm playing. Then you go on your app. You bet those games. You get a recommended betting guide. We tell you how much to bet in relation to the different types of picks you're getting. And then you're able to see you're getting only the best plays. If you had done that through this year, $100 since August is up over $2,000. We're winning. Everybody else is losing. We're turning a profit. When we lose, we'll talk about it. You can get the weekend only $169 through Monday. You can get everything through Halloween for about $100 a week. So $5.99 everything through Halloween. Basketball starts next month. Get those plays for very inexpensive when you add them now. Go to FatJackSports.com. Get signed up. Add some discipline and some consistency to the games you're betting on and watch your bankroll grow as we go through the next couple of weeks and into the fall.
Thank you, Jack. We'll talk to you next Thursday on Black and Abdallah.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Black, I guess you had a great time overseas.
Oh,
we
man.
Didn't get to talk about it.
Jack, we were talking about walking to start this. I walked so much each and every day over in Europe. It was fantastic.
You got to recoup, right? You got to get rid of the chafing now.
Yeah. No chafing. No chafing.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See you.
Thanks, Jack. Go to his website, FatJackSports.com. Sign up today. You can also follow Jack on Twitter, FatJackSports. And then you can also call 800-298-1383. Big weekend in the NFL, and I think that Packers-Buccaneers game is going to be the best game on Sunday.
It should be. I mean, I think it's going to be more of a matchup of defenses, because if you've seen the way these two teams have played offensively, I know that the Packers just rolled over the Bears, but a lot of it was not really Aaron Rodgers. They were running the ball really well, and if you look at last week for the Bucs, that was a very close game until Jameis turned the ball over, and then it kind of got away from him.
Black and Abdallah in for Greeny today. We are celebrating. Walk is one Chicago. Cap is on his walk right now. We'll talk to Cap in about 30 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. It's all to benefit Bernie's Book Bank, and you can donate to the great cause. ESPN 4 books to 44321. And this hour, Zebra Technologies will match up to $25,000 of listener donations. It's Black and Abdallah right here on ESPN 1000.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Abdallah. Start NFL Week 3 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and my number one sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or you already have an account. Everybody gets free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. I've got one for tonight. It's pretty easy, but it's got a decent payout. I'm taking Najee Harris, anytime touchdown scorer, and under an alternate total of 43.5. That pays just over 3-1. Bet 100, win 300. Bet $10, win $30. However you want to do it. If it doesn't hit, it doesn't matter, because you're going to get your money back in free bets. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with that promo code Abdallah if you don't already have an account. That's A-B-D-A-L-L-A. Or if you already have an account, you're all set. Just sign up, make your same-game parlay for tonight's game, and if you don't win, you'll get that money back in free bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or over, present in Illinois. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-drawable. Free bets expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So impressive.
and Abdallah, we're in for Greeny today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We're live at Cork and Carry at the park. We are here until noon, but then Carmen and Yurko take over noon to 2, and then Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6:30 right here on ESPN 1000 before White Sox baseball. The Guardians and the White Sox, the White Sox last stand. Come on, Abdallah, nope. They can win them all.
Yeah.
And then the Guardians are going to lose them all, and then they're in the playoffs.
And then they're in the playoffs. We're here for a much better cause than that. We're here for Bernie's Book Bank and the Walk is One Chicago with Cappies walking all over the city. Walking 20 miles, and if you want to donate, please do. ESPN4Books. Text ESPN4Books to 44321. That's the number ESPN, the number 4Books. To 44321. It's super easy. Gets you a link. You can donate as much as you want to. $20 gets 20 books to underserved children.
Bernie's Book Bank serves children in Cook, DuPage, Kane, Lake, McHenry, and Will counties. Since 2009, Bernie's Book Bank has distributed more than 22 million free books. So it's a great cause. David Kaplan is on his walk right now. Bernie's Book Bank CEO Darren Utnack is with Cap. They are on this trek. They left Guaranteed Rate Field just a little bit ago. They're heading towards Wrigley. They'll go all the way up to Wrigley. They're going to pass by UIC and DePaul. They're going to then come all the way back down once they get to Wrigley. And Cap's throwing out the first pitch tonight at the Sox game.
I hope he practiced. A lot of nerves out there when
he
you're
on the mound.
He
doesn't need to practice. He plays
baseball.
People
practice. People practice, man.
He plays baseball.
Ask Carmen when he gets here. He practiced for his.
Yeah, Carmen's not – no offense to Carmen. Cap is a baseball man.
It's a softball. Is it underhand? Undertoss?
But is Carmen a baseball guy?
He coaches.
Cap plays.
He coaches baseball.
Little league.
Regardless.
No,
Who do you think would throw out a better?
Carmen's very talented, but I don't think he would say, I'm a baseball player.
Who do you think would throw out
Cap
a better first
played.
Pitch? A better first pitch, Cap or Carmen?
Well, Cap, he's a pitcher.
No.
He hurls in the old man
No, you know what he is? He's a belly itcher. That's what he is. He's a belly itcher.
It's Black and Abdallah. We'll be back in 2 minutes.